This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com.
Anything that you want, our number is 855-453, like freedom, 855-450-3733. Launching into the third hour with you tonight, it's Ian,
Vincent,
and Chris.
Coming up, Vincent, you want to talk about Alex Jones.
He has dubious claims about Bitcoin.
Right, claiming that George Soros apparently offered him money to pump Bitcoin. We can get into that. But in other tech-related news, Chris, you've got this story about Huawei, which is a Chinese manufacturer, very, very, you know, successful company.
Especially in China and elsewhere around the world.
Yeah. Now, it may not be a household name here in the United States. I can't think of any Huawei devices I've ever owned.
They have entered the U.S. market, though, mm-hmm. and I will say I do believe I have purchased Huawei smartphones.
Don't they have, like, the cheapy smartphones?
Well, there's a difference between that. We talk about language, inexpensive versus cheap.
Yeah, I mean, what do you consider inexpensive? Like $200, $400?
I would say sub 100 would be cheap.
I don't know if they're that cheap. I think.
I mean, for more affordable.
It might have been. You know, you might be right. I think it was a cheap $100 phone. Actually, now I think about it, it was one of the. I think it was a Firefox phone. Actually,
I'm not saying they make bad products. I don't know.
When people say cheap, you know, cheap versus inexpensive. Like for some people, when they say cheap, it means it's inexpensive, but also at a at a cost, right? Because it's faulty in one area or another. My understanding is like Huawei were trying to get into Samsung and Apple, right? They both release phones that are well over $1,000.
I can't even imagine why anyone would spend $1,000.
So my understanding is Huawei is trying to get into, you know, trying to sell like, you know, affordable things, right? Sort of like what Japan did with cars back in the late 20th century.
Make money on volume.
I don't necessarily know that they're particularly catering to that market. They're a huge company, so they probably have products at a variety of different price points. I want to say that they are big in the GSM. You know, cellular modem for like computers, like USB modems. But I might be mistaking companies.
So what's going on with this company? Because I've heard they have arrested like a CEO or some executive, CFO.
Let's see here. So the Canadian government, as expected on Friday, approved extradition proceedings against the chief financial officer of Huawei Technologies Company Limited. Promoting a furious reaction from China. So yeah, it is. It was the daughter of a very significant, I want to say, politician, in China.
Hmm.
And I don't know. I think Meng. Well, let me continue.
It says here on the Wikipedia story, at least, that Meng Huanzhao was the CFO and vice chairperson of Huawei.
Right. Meng Huanzhao is the daughter of Huawei's founder, and was detained in Vancouver last December, and is under house arrest in Canada. So it's, yeah, I mean, this is the U.S. messing with some really significant players in China, on a political, you know, this is politics, basically. And,
it says here they're accusing her of violating U.S. sanctions against Iran.
Right. And that's exactly what's going on. So December, December is under house arrest. In late January, the U.S. Department charged Meng with Hawaii with conspiring to violate U.S. sanctions on Iran. So what's interesting about this is that
how the hell can they go after somebody from China for violating sanctions on Iran?
Right,
because I imagine they're trying to do business with Iran. That's what they did to the Chinese gun exporters, right? They claimed that the Norinco was doing business with Iran, and that's what the U.S. government likes to do to shut down foreign competition.
Is the idea if you have any kind of business in the United States, even if you're not based in the United States, that you're not allowed to deal with Iran as
no,
well?
No, it doesn't have to be.
That's correct.
It's like
If you do any kind of business in the United States, which Huawei
does.
It does now. They've entered the U.S. market. They are not allowed under U.S. law to do business with Iran.
Wow, that's insane.
That's what they're arguing. And the U.S. doesn't recognize or Canada and the United States are not recognizing, like, jurisdictional, boundaries, basically.
Mm-hmm.
And China is saying, no, this is not acceptable, you know? Really, why should...
It's outrageous.
It's outrageous for the U.S. to be trying to enforce its laws on a company overseas. But
that's exactly what's happening.
Doing.
And they also apparently had Canada do their bidding and arrest this person.
Yeah, and this is absolutely outrageous because I'm not even sure that Canada has a law like this against Iran because mm-hmm. I believe the UN sanctions failed against Iran. So mm-hmm. I don't know that Canada is actually, the U.S. proceeded to continue with the sanctions even though it failed at, like, the UN or something. Mm-hmm. But Canada presumably doesn't have those sanctions. Now,
this isn't the first time something like this has happened. Close to a decade ago, Canada also, at the behest of the United States, arrested Mark Emery, the Prince of Pot, the guy who was the publisher of Cannabis Culture magazine, who ran Cannabis Culture head shop or smoke shop or whatever it was in Vancouver, and has been like the one of the largest lightning rods for controversy over cannabis legalization in North America. They had the Canadian police arrest him, and they extradited him from Canada, even though he didn't do anything that was illegal in Canada. They extradited him from Canada into the United States to where he then got found guilty and served 5 years in prison.
The U.S. is got a lot of power around the world, and they use it. And, I think this kind of stuff happens all the time. They extradite from Colombia and Mexico. And in Mexico, it wasn't – and I think even Colombia, too, was the case – that the government there wasn't even allowed to send their citizens overseas, but yet they did anyway. I don't know if they broke the law or they changed the law in order to do it, but that was in relation to drugs. But now if you look at, like, copyright, Mega Upload, Kim.com, for those who are familiar
with that. They're still trying to extradite him.
They're still trying to extradite him for something that, he's never been to the United States.
How long has that been now?
Most
of a decade?
It's still ongoing, and this is just the extradition proceeding in New Zealand.
Right.
It's just absolutely ridiculous. And there was the hacker, somebody hacked in from, there are some differences in some of these cases because in some cases there is a law against it in the country that they're extraditing from. So they broke the law. They did break the law in their home country from where they're being extradited from. But it should be that country that they're prosecuted in, not a foreign jurisdiction for which they have also broken the foreign jurisdiction's law because they were never in, presumably, in most cases, those people have not ever even gone into those foreign jurisdictions. It's kind of like, you got to think of it like this. If I break Iranian law, okay, but I'm not in Iran, should
there's no jurisdiction.
Right. Why should Iran be able to extradite me, right? The U.S. presumably wouldn't allow them to extradite me.
Well, we had a situation.
But that's what the U.S. is doing.
And what happened after, you may recall this, Vincent, after Canada did its legalization of cannabis, South Korea put out a notice to all of its South Korean citizenry in Canada saying, if you are found to have been smoking marijuana while in Canada, you will go to prison when you come back to South Korea.
Yeah, what's interesting, too, is the U.S. has a constitutional thing here, where if you go overseas and you commit a crime overseas, U.S. can't prosecute you in the United States, generally
speaking. Yes, they can. It depends on the crime.
Yes, there's like two different, I think there's like two or three different crimes that they can prosecute you for if you've committed them overseas.
Sex tourism, I think.
That's right.
Sex tourism is definitely one of them. But generally speaking, like, there's this concept. Now, I don't know, it's interesting. I don't know, clearly, I mean, it's an interesting thing because it seems like they kind of ignore the law and they get away
with it. Who ignores what law?
The U.S. gets away with kind of ignoring that in a lot of cases, or it might just be because the law was broken in the foreign country, and when that happens, and if it was also broken in the U.S., even though the person's overseas when they break the law, in that case, it's some sort of exception.
Hmm.
But it's, because there's a cross-border issue, and I think that's what enables them to, like, extradite Kim.com or a hacker or, you know, somebody who's
haven't extradited Kim.com yet.
They have it,
still
but they're
fighting
trying,
in the New Zealand court system.
But it's obviously, it's New Zealand's court in this case that matters.
In that case.
And, yeah, and it always is the extraditing country that it matters. But the point that I'm trying to make is that they basically get bullied. These countries get bullied and, you know.
Well, where, is there more to this? I mean, we haven't really talked about whatever it is that's going on with Huawei.
Yeah, we can continue.
I want to know more about what's happening with this lady who, you know, again, I don't think she's committed any kind of criminal act.
I don't think so either.
And who knows what she's going to be facing for punishment. We're coming up here in moments. It's Free Talk Live.
You want to know the 37 items you must have to survive a crisis? Then I've got some good news for you. Former CIA officer and New York Times best-selling author Jason Hansen is now giving listeners a free copy of his book, The Escape Bag Blueprint, 37 Items You Must Have to Survive a Crisis. You can claim your copy at freeescapebook.com. Don't delay. Jason reveals the guns, knives, flashlights, and water filters that could save your life in an economic collapse or grid down event. Get your free book today, freeescapebook.com. freeescapebook.com.
Bitcoin.com is delighted to announce their latest partnership with the gift card specialists at eGifter. With many of the world's leading brands on their roster, it is now easier than ever to get the gift cards of your favorite brands with Bitcoin Cash. To get started, just follow these simple steps. Visit giftcards.bitcoin.com, pick the gift card you want, follow the instructions on your screen, and make your payment using your Bitcoin Cash wallet. Sit tight and your gift card will be delivered to you as soon as it's ready. That's giftcards.bitcoin.com.
There are basically two types of advertising, direct response and branding. Radio is great for direct response with its low cost to listener ratio, but audio can't be beat for branding, which is a longer term endeavor. You want to be the first thing that someone thinks of when they think about your product or service. If you have a local business that you want kept top of mind in your community, call the station. If you need national reach, Free Talk Live's got around 200 radio stations, millions of monthly listening sessions, can suit all budgets, and if we don't think we're right for you, we'll tell you. Email me, Mark, at freetalklive.com.
Smart Cash is a peer-to-peer digital currency that is fast, secure, and easy to use. Smart Cash also features smart rewards, a price stabilization mechanism, and a way to encourage long-term holding. Long-term holders are key to the project's success. You can earn smart rewards on any address for which you hold the private keys, which holds at least 1,000 smart for 1 month and does not make any outgoing transactions during that time. Smart rewards are distributed every 47,500 blocks to all eligible addresses. Learn more at smartcash.cc.
Bacon lovers, we ship free. Try our amazing bacon. No refrigeration required. Proprietary value-added packaging provides 10-year shelf life and protects the leanest, thickest, center-cut, fully cooked bacon in America today. Ready to eat right from the pouch or warm and serve. Savory and delicious. Wholesale price for your everyday use. Order today at readytoeatbacon.com. Readytoeatbacon.com.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
Would you like to get back that full head of hair from years past? Now, there is Reveal. Beverly Hills celebrity dermatologist Dr. Nathan Newman took nearly a decade to develop Reveal from natural botanicals to return to a full body head of hair. Reveal for men and women with a 30-day money-back guarantee at GCNLife.com or toll-free 844-443-6637. 844-443-6637. Reveal at GCNLife.com.
This is Free Talk Live. Call in toll-free 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-FREE.
855-450 free like freedom. That's 855-450-3733. I mean, are we even allowed to speak to somebody in Iran?
I don't know.
If somebody calls in to Free Talk Live on Discord from our Discord server at discord.lrn.fm, where people from around the world have called on our call-in line rooms there. If somebody from Iran calls in, does that mean that we're getting a financial benefit because, you know, maybe they make the show better?
That argument could be made. I mean, it's absolutely insane, but that's exactly the kind of arguments that the U.S. routinely makes against, people and businesses and such.
Yeah. So we're talking about Iran, specifically Huawei, the electronics manufacturer from China that has, I wouldn't call them a household name, but certainly they're making inroads into the U.S. market. And apparently that they didn't realize they couldn't do business in Iran, apparently, at the same time. And now the U.S. government has had the CFO arrested when she was in, Vancouver over in Canada?
Yeah, in Vancouver she was arrested, a couple months ago?
Outrageous.
She's basically been held she's been kidnapped by Canada, basically.
Right, and, on the say-so.
And they wouldn't let, they won't let her leave. There's a proceeding going on to extradite her to the United States to face, and I'm going to put this in quotes, justice, which is absolutely insane. But
where's the victim?
I don't know. I don't see any victims here.
Right, all you've got are politicians in Washington, D.C. who've said that this other group of people on this other part of the planet, specifically the politicians, they're bad, so therefore everyone within that plot of land has to be punished.
There seems to be a victim here, but it's not. It's Huawei, and it's...
And the Iranian people, by the way.
Yeah,
they're the victims.
It's the Iranian people. It's Meng here.
And every American business who wants to do business with Iranians.
Right, right. There are victims here, but it's not... Yeah, it's the government that's doing the victimizing. Yeah, today the Department of Justice... Canada officials issued an authority to proceed, formally commencing an extradition process in the case of Ms. Meng Wanzhou, the government said in a statement. I apologize. I don't know how to pronounce any of these names. I think I got...
I think Wanzhou is pretty close.
Yeah.
That's probably what it is.
Yeah. China, whose relations with Canada have deteriorated badly over the affair, denounced the decision and repeated previous demands for Meng's release. Yeah, I mean, I would say that if... I understand people's, the one thing I get upset about is people making the argument, China doesn't understand that Canada has a rule of law and, like, they have to go through procedures and politicians can't just release her. Well, I would agree with that in some respects, but the problem with this is clearly a political, situation, and it's not the rule of law that's going on here. Because if the rule of law was going on here, they would be recognizing that there's jurisdictional boundaries and that there is no leg to stand on as far as extradition to the U.S. So they should have released her, basically almost immediately.
Well, I mean, there is a leg to stand on. They've done this before, and they're basically the U.S.'s bitch.
There's no legitimate leg to stand on, I guess is what I'm trying to say, the argument I'm trying to make.
I mean, am I right, Vincent? Obviously, you're from Canada. Canada's the U.S.'s bitch?
Well, I think there's more elegant words to be used. I mean, the U.S. certainly has a lot of sway over Canada. It's one of its biggest trading partners, mm-hmm. and there's been a very long time working relationship with it. I'd say the U.S. has more clout over Canada than Canada would have over the United States.
You know, it almost makes you wonder if there's something else going on here. Is this something that the U.S. government is doing at, let's say, the behest of a more well-connected competitor, say Apple or Samsung?
We already know that's going on because this is not the only person who's been arrested on basically dubious grounds.
You mean from Huawei or in general?
No, in general. Russia, there's been certain companies have been targeted.
Russian companies?
Yeah, certain Russian companies have been targeted by the government, basically, by the politicians.
Uh-huh.
And
just because they're Russian, basically?
Yeah, just because they're Russian. And it's not to say that I don't agree. They make arguments like it's basically over security is what they're arguing. And I don't necessarily disagree that the government has legitimate security concerns here. The problem is that they have those issues regardless of whether or not It's a Russian company or a U.S. company or some other foreign company.
Sure.
So their argument basically kind of fails flat on its, you know, it fails. So,
just to add, like, I'm looking at Huawei's Wikipedia page under its controversies, like, all the bad stuff that it does, there's, like, several pages worth. But then what we're actually accusing them of doing, right, via violating the sanctions, that's, like, just a paragraph or something. Look, so, I mean, like, I think it's clear we're just going after them.
Nobody's defending Huawei's actions as far as what else they might have done that has been, you know, terrible, right? Like, they could be a really horrible company, and I'm not saying they aren't a horrible company. They might be a horrible company. But that doesn't necessarily mean that in this particular situation,
wasn't done to. No, right. I understand. Right. I mean, I have no sympathy for them, but I'm able to, but I understand, I mean, that what's happening to them is not fair.
There's I don't think there's any question that the Chinese government has influence over these companies. I mean, pretty much any company in China, the Chinese government's going to have influence over. But on the same token, the U.S. government has influence over U.S. companies as well, right?
Well,
the U.S. government has influence over foreign companies.
Over some companies. I was going to say in China, the government has shills in the companies. In the U.S., the companies have shills in the government.
I mean, yeah, I think in both the U.S. and China, there's going to be a mix of, you know, political leadership having control over companies and, you know, companies having political influence within it. I think it's just going to happen no matter what the government situation is.
Oh, yeah, I mean, one is a slightly more liberal socialist country, which is the U.S., and the other is a capitalist authoritarian place. I mean, which is China. I mean, they're both run by the banks anyway. So,
well,
it's just...
I want to bring up Iraq, actually, pre-Saddam. If you look at what the situation was in Iraq...
You're talking about, like, the early 1980s? Because didn't he get put in like 1980 or something?
80s and 90s. I'm not sure what you're talking about. But, no, in the 80s and 90s, you know, basically during Saddam's rule, okay? His family basically had, and, you know, people around him had a lot of influence in companies, and those companies did really, really well. And it was a dictatorship, basically.
He was a U.S. asset.
Right. Well, yeah, that's true, too.
Oh, yeah, he assassinated someone right before he went into power, and he was being trained by the CIA or something.
That's how he got into power.
Well, that is how he got
assassinating, I don't remember who. I don't know if it was a legitimate, like, some sort of legitimate...
Oh, yeah, from the beginning.
Government or pseudo-legitimate government?
He was in the U.S. government's pocket from the beginning, right? They're the ones who put him into power. They supported Iraq during the Iran-Iraq war.
Yeah, I know that definitely was the case. I don't know if he got into power with sponsorship from the U.S., but
without any doubt.
Did he? Okay.
Yeah, that's why I said 1980, because I remember there was, like, a picture of him with Donald Rumsfeld shaking hands.
Yeah, it's
here.
I mean, like, they have a picture of McCain with ISIS leaders.
Certainly the U.S. Supported him during, you know, the Iran-Iraq war, because the U.S., you know, was, well, they lost their puppet in Iran, so they're going to support basically the Iran's enemy.
We got more coming up here. The toll-free number is 855-450-FREE, like freedom. That's 855-450-3733. You can take control of the airwaves and bring up whatever's on your mind, whether it's the Huawei controversy, sanctions against Iran. Again, I think all sanctions need to be wiped out immediately so we can actually just trade with whoever we want. It's Free Talk Live.
Are you afraid to go to the mailbox because of letter after letter from the IRS? Are they stacking on more and more penalties and interest? By now, you know the problem won't go away on its own. Don't let the IRS chase you to your grave with penalties and interest and liens and levies. You need real help now. I'm Dan Pilla. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I help thousands of people solve tax problems they thought couldn't be solved. I can help you too. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com. Danpilla.com.
Anytime, any place, anywhere. Radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
USA Radio News with Rick Vincent. Democrats on the House Oversight Committee are demanding the White House turn over documents related to how the Trump administration handled security clearances for advisors, including Jared Kushner. Democratic Congressman Mark DeSantis of California was asked on CNN if Kushner should be subpoenaed if he doesn't respond.
Of course. I think this is a period where the White House is testing us, but this is the way we are supposed to act.
A New York Times story said that Trump ordered his former chief of staff, John Kelly, to provide Kushner with a clearance. Speaking at the Conservative Political Action Conference in Maryland, White House Economic Advisor Larry Kudlow says the U.S. has gone from pessimism to optimism due to the current administration.
He has ended the war on business. He has ended the war on energy. He has ended the war on success.
Major chain stores Gap, JCPenney, Victoria's Secret, and Foot Locker all announced massive closures totaling more than 465 stores over the past 48 hours. That'll bring the number of planned store closures this year to well over 4,500. You're listening to USA Radio News.
If you're 85 or younger, would you like peace of mind and comfort for your family? We're Final Expense Direct with an urgent message for you. The average funeral today costs over $8,000, but the most you'll get from government benefits is $255. How will your family pay the difference? We can help. Our senior plans start as low as just a dollar a day and pay up to $30,000 for a funeral and other final expenses. Peace of mind is easy. There's no medical exam. You'll have lifetime coverage, and your plan can't be canceled as long as you pay your premiums. Call now for free information about our senior plans. Answer a few simple questions and receive approval right on the phone. Plus, call right now, and we'll give you a discount prescription card for free. Call 800-561-5716. That's 800-561-5716. Again, 800-561-5716.
It's been said, any society is only three missed meals away from chaos. Those times may be near. Think about it. Our country faces multiple terrorist threats and aggressions from Russia and North Korea. Social unrest and violent marches yet again may lead to looting of stores and city shutdowns. And our crumbling infrastructure leaves our power grid vulnerable to long-term outages from a single cyber attack. When the chaos from any one of these threats arises, the government knows it can't provide during a widespread national emergency. That's why you need your own plan for self-reliance. That's where My Patriot Supply comes in. Get a four-week survival food supply for only $99. That includes breakfast, lunches, and dinners. Order online at preparewithgcn.com. $99 for 4 weeks of survival food that tastes like homemade cooking and lasts up to 25 years from My Patriot Supply. Get your kits today at preparewithgcn.com. Free shipping is included. Preparewithgcn.com.
You're listening to Free Talk Live. Call in toll-free at 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-FREE.
It's Free Talk Live. Dial in toll-free here if you want to join us. We're talking about sanctions against Iran and how that's now apparently gotten Huawei into some hot water in the United States with their CFO being arrested in Vancouver by the Canadian government on the behest of the U.S. government. Recent news shows that apparently Canadian government has recently said that they can extradite her to the United States. So that's not good.
No, it's not.
Considering that really I don't think it needs to be a crime for somebody to do business with people in Iran. I don't think the people of a plot of land need to be punished for what their politicians do. If people could trade with Venezuela, if they could trade with Iran and Cuba, then the people in those places would be better off.
Well, it's not like, Huawei just goes to Tehran, doesn't talk to the government at all and sets up a total free market booth. I mean, I'm not defending what the U.S. government's doing. I'm just saying it's not, the Iranian government's going to get something from it, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, the Iranian government's going to be involved. It's not like...
They can't get cell phones anyway.
Well, no, yeah, I'm just saying it's not like there's free trade everywhere else in the world except the U.S. I mean, the Iranian government's going to benefit from it. I'm not saying I agree with what they're doing. I'm just saying it's not like, we're just going to show up and directly trade with the people. I mean, the government's somehow going to get involved, especially.
Yeah,
Yeah, there's it's interesting. It's a kind of an interesting situation because the U.S. this isn't like the only company that the U.S. has gone against, basically, or gone after. But what's interesting about this is that this is a foreign company and not a U.S. company. Right. So, like, for example, they've gone after HP, who sold printers to Kuwait. It was one of the Middle Eastern countries anyway, and they then a company there then sold them to Iran, and I think the way they get around some of this stuff is essentially they've got people like on little boats like carrying the stuff off, and there's this whole network basically of people who just basically they take these like anything that you could possibly want, and they put them on little boats, and they go into the, I don't know exactly, I'm not sure exactly where it is or like what kind of water or ocean or whatever has to be traveled in order to make it happen, or if there even is anything. But there's basically these routes, and it's just bizarre because it's not like large companies like trucking, I guess, tons of merchandise. It's like a little bit of merchandise like carried over the border into Iran. And that's why Iran, when you go to Iran, you can actually find, U.S. made electronics.
There's not many U.S. made electronics.
How do I say this? U.S. companies designed electronics which have been smuggled into Iran basically against
like
U.S. sanction.
Like
exactly.
Apple.
So you can readily get Apple products in Iran, or all sorts of HP printers, and like
where
all
there's
sorts
a will, there's a way,
Right, exactly.
If somebody
exactly.
wants to do something, they're going to figure it out.
Yeah, I mean the sanctions basically haven't really been very effective, even though the United States has gone after U.S. companies.
The products, the marketplace is always going to find a way around the whatever burdens are the governments put in their way, whatever blocks. But it does cost, right? Like it's way less efficient to get the products into Iran under sanctions than it would be otherwise, because you could just send in shipping containers full of them without an issue.
Yeah, I mean, I get the impression that it's actually not as expensive as you might think. And I don't know if that has to do with the labor, like cheap labor, being involved. But I guess it works. It's effective. Mm-hmm. So it's. Yeah,
good point.
I mean, we got, the U.S. can't even keep drugs out of the United States
from
crossing the border. It's not even like they have to be produced here because we have a secure border. But
so is there more that we need to know about this case, or just kind of like generally talking about this?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a little bit more that I'd be interested in just quoting here. Let's see here.
And still to come, we got the Alex Jones and George Soros Bitcoin conspiracy.
Yeah, so this next piece is kind of interesting. Legal experts had predicted the Liberal government of Prime Minister Justin Trudeau would give the go-ahead for extradition proceedings, given the close judicial relationship between Canada and the United States. I mean, they're basically saying here that, politics is going to make it happen, not some sort of legal situation. He's obviously relationship. They're not talking about the law. They're talking
even
about,
though Trudeau's a liberal and Trump is a purported Republican.
Right, because it's going to benefit Canada, and that's clearly politics, not because they're.
I'm not sure how it benefits Canada besides the U.S. wouldn't punish them, right? Like it's just benefiting them in the absence of a beating.
Right.
Or it's like they have extradition treaties, so if a Canadian criminal escapes to the U.S.,
then the U.S. will extradite.
It's reciprocal.
It is interesting, though. This next section is also interesting. So it could be years, though, before Meng is ever sent to the United States, since Canada's slow-moving justice system allows many decisions to be appealed. So it's going to be interesting if this is similar to how things are in New Zealand with Kim.com.
Mm-hmm.
Who knows how long this could go on for. But at the same time, I kind of have to wonder, China, this is a person who is very, very high on the list, politically in China.
Right.
So the idea that this is not going to backfire on Canada and the United States is just like, we already know it's backfired. They've arrested, China has arrested U.S.
Really?
Yeah, they've arrested at least two or three, from what I recall.
Executives? Or who are they arresting?
Like executives in China.
Wow.
You know, obviously it's arbitrary, but then again, the U.S.'s actions and Canada's actions
totally
are kind of
arbitrary
too. So, you know, I can't really blame them, but it's a danger. I think it's, and I think this is why it's so particularly dangerous, this situation, because the United States has said we're going to basically ignore the international, jurisdiction. We're going to ignore jurisdiction. You know,
well, no, what they're saying is we our jurisdiction extends everywhere.
Right, exactly.
Not that they're ignoring jurisdiction. They're just saying we own you.
Right.
And if you exist on the planet, we're going to say you can't trade with Iran.
Yeah, and I don't think China should put up with this. It's just, it's not, it's just, it. It's just, it's out, it's absolutely outrageous. And I don't think I don't think the people in the U.S. should put up with this.
But what are you going to do about it?
You're right. I mean, there's not much I can probably do about it at an individual level, but I'm certainly going to talk about this issue. Mm-hmm. And,
it's not like the Democrats are going to get rid of the sanctions either.
No, it's not. It's not. It's unfortunate. But again, I wouldn't call myself a Democrat or a Republican either.
Right. But I'm just saying, you know, as far as political change is concerned, there's no libertarians that are going to be getting into office.
No, and so I mean, okay, but this also kind of goes back to why I'm in New Hampshire, right? Yeah. It's why you're in New Hampshire. It's why we're all in New Hampshire, right? So, you know, I don't really feel like this particular issue we're going to have any, you know, I'm not delusional.
You'll have no impact on
this. Yeah, that I'll have any impact on this particular issue. But I do think that there are issues we can have an impact with moving forward, even if they're at a, you know,
local level.
Or a lesser level.
Let's go to the phones here. I got David in New Mexico listening via TuneIn. Go ahead, David.
Yeah, answering the question that you posed the other day where we left the conversation that we were discussing, I had brought up that I was threatened with jail again for calling my government office, in this case a Monica Rodriguez, the deputy administrator of the Children's Court in Albuquerque. I have, pursuant to 32A516E, I have a right to get some information, and she doesn't want to give me the time of day to answer my questions because she thinks I'm stupid and full of it and a waste of her time and so on and so forth. And that may or may not be true. However, 32A516E still gives me a statute to stand on that I'm entitled to certain information. And she hangs up on me, and I call back, and then she threatens to call the sheriff on me. So you pose the question, what right does a government worker have to make those kind of decisions? Certainly they have some right. You can't just call them up and ask them what their favorite TV show is constantly. But when you're a party to a court case, and there's a statute that mandates that Monica Rodriguez do something, and in your legal opinion, she's not doing it. In fact, she's obstructing you. I think a person, I allege legally that I have some right to call back. So anyway, she said if I call her back again, that to continue trying to get my questions answered, she will call the cops.
Well, if she does, then you'll have the chance to argue it in front of a judge.
Yeah, that's
thanks
true.
Thanks for the call, David. I wish you the best on that. There's more coming up here. 855-450 free like freedom. Join us on Free Talk Live.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of MyPillow, and like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented MyPillow, I wanted it to where you can move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. MyPillow will get you into that deep sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry my pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose.
And here's Mike's best offer ever. My Pillow is now offering 50% off their 4-pack special, plus free shipping. Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-951-5617 and use promo code FTL. That's 50% off plus free shipping. Don't delay. Order now.
Have you heard the warning from the dead doctors don't lie guy? I'm talking about Dr. Joel Wallach. He says if you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol or high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, or other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. That's what he says. He has a free lecture revealing what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally. And it's all in his free lecture called Deadly Recipe. You want it free? Call him toll-free at 855-79-YOUNG. You ready? 855-79-YOUNG. Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy, says there's no reason why we shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there.
Maybe not today, maybe not tomorrow, but soon you'll need a plan and place to survive. Forget bunkers. You're not a live-underground gopher. You need Survivalist Camps, the ultimate fully functional, off-the-grid, mobile survival bug-out house that's well-equipped and custom-built to outlast any other RV or trailer. Bold statement? You bet. See them now at survivalistcamps.com. That's survivalistcamps.com. Trust your family's survival to survivalistcamps.com.
Policies issued by American General Life Insurance Company, Houston, Texas. Not available in all states. For details, visit AIGDirect.com.
Do you have a family? Would you like to help make sure they'll be taken care of if anything were to happen to you? If you answered yes, you probably need life insurance. Now, do you think life insurance is expensive? If you answered yes to that, too, you definitely need to give AIG Direct a call. We could find you a $250,000 policy for just $14 a month, which means you could save hundreds of dollars a year. Call us now for a free, no-obligation quote. 1-800-919-5435. Since 1995, we've helped millions of people find out if they could save up to 70% on their term life insurance. See how affordably we can help you protect your family. Call AIG Direct now for your free quote. 1-800-919-5435. You could save up to 70%. That's 1-800-919-5435. 1-800-919-5435.
This is George Norrie from Coast to Coast AM and History Channel's Ancient Aliens. We support the amazing energy, nutrition, and skincare products from Jeunesse. Jeunesse products are designed by leading doctors in their field with natural ingredients and even stem cell technology. These products help your body perform and look better. Shop Jeunesse at GCNLife.com or call 1-844-443-6637. GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637.
Now more Free Talk Live. Call in toll-free at 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-FREE.
It's Free Talk Live. Dial in toll-free in these remaining moments. There's enough time for you if you jump in now. Our number is 855-450-FREE like freedom. That's 855-450-3733. We've also got the Discord on-air call-in line rooms over at discord.lrn.fm. And we now have video clips over at clips.freetalklive.com that are being manufactured on a daily basis. There's at least a couple a day, it seems like, coming out. It's a great, easy way for you to share Free Talk Live on your favorite social media websites or wherever it is that you want to share it. And so all you have to do is go to clips.freetalklive.com, hit the subscribe button on that YouTube channel, or if you prefer, you can also follow on Twitter at twitter.freetalklive.com, on Mastodon, the decentralized alternative to Twitter, over at toot.freetalklive.com, and via Telegram at telegram.freetalklive.com. Those are three very useful social media links for you, and again, all those video clips get posted there as well. So check it out at clips.freetalklive.com. Let's change gears from the international Iran-Huawei controversy into George Soros, apparently offering $5 million, according to Alex Jones, for Jones to pump Bitcoin. That's the claim, at least. Vincent, yeah, you got the story.
Yeah, yeah. This is from CCN.com, which looks like some cryptocurrency.
It's cryptocurrency.
I couldn't find what the CCN stood for. I looked all over.
I think it's cryptocurrency news.
Oh, okay.
I think.
So it has plenty of that. It has plenty of that. So this was said on the Joe Rogan podcast. Jones went back on to Joe Rogan for episode
after they had a fight.
Yeah, yeah. So he was originally on there on episode 9/11.
Do you think it was legit or was it staged, the fight between Rogan and Alex Jones?
I think they made up so fast, especially since Jones accused Rogan of all sorts of stuff. They made up so quickly that, I mean, like,
Yeah, Jones was not nice on the video. I saw a clip of it, and he was not nice to.
Yeah,
and
I mean, I understand. Like, I'm no fan of Jones anymore. Trust me.
You used to be.
Yeah, yeah. Now I'm probably one of his biggest critics online. I have a lot of company there. But with what Joe Rogan, as he said, Joe Rogan was repeating mainstream media lies about Jones. He refused to. He was too scared to have him on because he said he was too toxic because of his views and stuff. So I thought that was sort of duplicitous behavior, but. Here it's I brought this not just because of the drama between Jones and Rogan, but it's because of the cryptocurrency talk on here. Just begin. Alex Jones made his triumphant return to the Joe Rogan Experience podcast recently, where he discussed Bitcoin, cryptocurrency, and his arch nemesis George Soros, among other things. Jones suggested that Soros had reached out to him via intermediaries in an attempt to cool the InfoWars founder's constant attacks on him. Part of the deal, according to Jones, meant agreeing to advertise, or in Jones's words, pump Bitcoin. And so Jones's words are, I got told 8 years ago by two different people, two very well-known rich people. They said, George Soros likes you. He wants to work with you, as does Alexander Soros. You just need to stop attacking him. Oh, and by the way, we want you to pump Bitcoin. And I find this somewhat suspect because he would, in the past...
You think he's lying?
Well, in the past, right, when Bitcoin was up, he would talk about how people tried to get him to sell out, but he would never mention Bitcoin involved in it. And so, which is, and he had Roger Ver on and never mentioned that either.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they get into that. So I find it suspect that only just now he's bringing up Bitcoin. But because, like, if I had someone, like, really big, rich, evil mastermind offer me money and I'd refuse, I'd obviously go on the air, like, that day
and say something about
exactly,
it.
Exactly, yeah. So,
but what if he was considering it, though?
Well, he claims he denied it. So, and Jones, and if, why would he even be considering it if he's as honest as he claims? So Jones,
but he's not as honest as he claims,
well,
though.
That's the point.
Yeah. So, and Jones has a history of saying that he's been approached by big people or, like, very shady people.
Yeah, I don't know who we're talking about, to be honest. So, like,
you've never heard of George Soros?
I'm not really familiar.
George Soros is,
maybe you guys can make an association.
Thanks for pointing that out.
Maybe there's others out there.
George Soros is a billionaire, and he made his money through financial machinations. Like, he's known as the person who broke the back of the Bank of England. He, so he's a big financial guy.
I've heard the name, but
he's a lefty.
I don't really know
and
him.
He funds all, like, most, like, Emily's List, and he has a bunch of nonprofits and
have you heard of the Koch brothers?
Yeah.
So he's like the lefty version of the Koch brothers.
Okay.
So
except
the Koch
brothers gives a lot more money. He gives a lot more money and has a lot more. Like, he's been caught funding, like, Black Lives Matter rallies, Antifa. All sorts of stuff, Bruce Open Foundation. And he gets government money to do this, too. He gets State Department grants. There's warrants out for his arrest.
I'd like to let George Soros know that we'd be happy to pump Bitcoin for him if he just wants to give us a call.
And so...
I could use $5 million. We pump Bitcoin anyway, so...
Yeah, right?
So here,
that's why you're not getting the money.
Right.
Jones continues. He said, I got offered at the time... Hold on. I got offered at the time about $5 million worth of Bitcoin. I think it was about $38 million by the time it got here, the peak, and I refused it. Despite these dirty dealings that Jones claims to have been part of, he hasn't been put completely off by the idea of cryptocurrency in general. Listen, I believe in cryptocurrencies. I believe in its future. It's the future. We
really?
Have a private Federal Reserve. It's all fiat. I'm not judging anybody. I'm just saying, be careful. Not his first crypto rodeo. This isn't the first time Jones has given his opinion on Bitcoin and cryptocurrency in general. For crypto enthusiasts, Jones's interview with Bitcoin Jesus Roger Ver should be considered essential viewing. Crypto is the future, but beware package grassroots movements. His frequent discussions with Peter Schiff have also resulted in interesting conversations.
Who is not in favor of Bitcoin,
well,
by the way.
He's a metals guy, so obviously he's going to be.
That doesn't mean anything, though. I mean,
But it's his competitor in the, anti-fiat sort of market, right?
I mean, I guess you could look at it that way, but some people with more open minds have
Like
Robertson Roberts, gold dealer down in Florida, which is a very libertarian gentleman who runs that, Tim Roberts, Tim, I don't want to say his last name. Anyway, Tim's his name.
Whoops.
Nice guy. Anyway, he is that actually his last name isn't Roberts. My point was, with Robertson Roberts, they accept cryptocurrency. So you can buy gold and silver with cryptocurrency.
Oh, which is great.
Awesome.
I'm just saying that I understand Schiff's thinking, where it's like it used to be, if you wanted to get something else out of value, you would either get like real estate or metals. Now there's crypto is an easy alternative.
But what Schiff is saying is that it doesn't have backing, right? Isn't that his main objection?
Yeah,
to
he says it could be worth zero any day now.
Yeah.
So could the dollar.
Well, I mean, the odds that the dollar is going to jump to zero in one day are pretty slim.
So can be metals if, you know, someone invents something like from Star Trek where you can just move around particles to create things.
Transmogrification or whatever of, you know, take coal and turn it into gold, then all of a sudden the price of gold is going to go down.
The argument against that is that you shouldn't be investing in crypto and you shouldn't be investing in the U.S. dollar either. Yeah, investments should be actually like you should have an idea of like they're going to go up in value and have. And
well, you never know if an investment's going to go up in value. No. That's why it's an investment.
Right, but there's less risky investments and there's more risky investments.
Sure.
You generally don't want to put all your eggs in one basket.
Nope.
But you want to put your eggs in when you're younger in more risky investments, and as you get older in less risky investments, and diversify, of course.
So, but this next part, what he's saying is why I wanted to bring it up, because I find it very suspect of Jones's, as you said, FUDing with Bitcoin.
Fear, uncertainty, doubt.
Jones claimed he was being offered $1 million a month to promote cryptocurrencies at the height of what he regards as a Ponzi scheme. He says he took this as a sign that the bottom was about to collapse. And Jones says,
wait a minute. So Jones is saying on one hand that crypto is a Ponzi scheme, but on the other hand, he's saying it's the future?
Bitcoin is the Ponzi scheme.
Ridiculous.
Let's hear for what he has to say.
All right.
It has. That means, so, and I'm not disagreeing with you. I'm just saying. Yeah. That means we're about to dump it. We're pulling for money out of a Ponzi scheme, and they want to bring it all the new suckers in with big advertising push to prop it up. So it collapses months later, and they don't get the blame for pulling for money out, which is a crime. When they know it's going down, it's called a pump and dump. And then he continues, I don't say cryptocurrency itself is bad, but I knew it had been pushed by the establishment. It was only being put out as a global currency, but also as an anti-establishment to get folks to adopt it. Only way you could get grassroots is to act like it's anti-establishment. And, you know, when he talks about establishment, I agree with him to the point where it's like you have, you know, CNBC talking about Bitcoin and crypto. You have all these, like, futures and such. So I think Bitcoin's been – I'm pretty sure Bitcoin's controlled by the banks at this point just because of all the machinations.
Honestly, just because it's supported by both sides does not necessarily mean that it doesn't have the aspects that are valuable to somebody who is, you know, anti-government or – you know, libertarian. Like, you can have both sides supporting something. I know socialists who support crypto.
Sure.
I also know, you know, libertarians who support crypto. So, I mean, the idea that it's, you know.
You don't have to be in favor of the Federal Reserve to be a socialist, right? Like, socialists can be completely against that system, too.
Right.
And see that the cryptocurrency is an escape from that. And it absolutely is. Now, I may have my critiques of Bitcoin as far as its development is concerned. I think that the...
Right. I think we all have our...
I think it's,
you know,
stalled, basically, as far as, you know, it hasn't fixed its issues.
Right.
But ultimately, the concept behind it is what spawned all of this. So if Jones wants to say cryptocurrency the future, then he has to acknowledge that Bitcoin was the grandfather of that. And it's not a Ponzi scheme. A Ponzi scheme is where, you know, it's an investment scheme where everybody who, you know, is in early benefits because other people end up coming in, but then the whole thing falls apart because you can't get enough people.
Well, and
to come
a lot
in
of cryptos and ICOs
on.
Were like that.
Well, there may be some scams that have happened for sure, but Bitcoin itself is not a Ponzi scheme.
Well, I think they say they could turn into it because someone could have taken control of Bitcoin.
No, a Ponzi scheme is where you're promised a return on your investment.
Well, yeah,
and
they say
on other people's deposits.
Yeah, I mean, it's
that's not the same thing at all.
We could turn into one.
No, I really couldn't. We'll see you tomorrow online. In the meantime, freetalklive.com.
What would your life be like if you woke up each morning with new vitality, feeling better than you have in years, and you noticed a difference in your sleeping patterns, blood sugar levels, and had a sense of well-being overall? There's something that is changing thousands of people's lives, and you could be one of them. It's called Heart and Body Extract. Sharon Harris, co-creator of Heart and Body Extract, talks about the positive effects of Heart and Body Extract.
What happens with the formula Heart and Body Extract is it's giving the body the necessary vitamins, minerals, amino acids, enzymes, and phytonutrients so the body will heal itself. And yes, the body does have the ability to balance blood pressure, balance cholesterol, clean and unclog the arteries. It can also work on balancing the circulation for diabetics. So the body is an amazing thing. It simply needs some help so it has the tools to heal itself.
Heart and Body Extract gets results. To order your 2-month supply, call now, toll free at 866-295-5305. Order online at hbextract.com.
Hello, I am looking for a special soul from the GCN audience to hire to come to East Ridge, Tennessee and take care of two peaceful, easygoing people, which are a sweet 95-year-old woman and her 60-year-old son. Terms would be free room and board, plus the use of all of our facilities here at home, in exchange for living with us and seeing to our needs. We must have someone that fits in well. We get along with most anybody and value those who like to do the same. We live in a suburb of the scenic city of Chattanooga, Tennessee. Please email Matt at peaceaboveall.net for additional information. Please include your informal resume stating your strengths and weaknesses and reasons you would make a dedicated caregiver. We would also offer to negotiate a nominal salary in addition to everything else. Again, please email matt@peaceaboveall.net. Thanks for responding.